Back on Inauguration Day, President Donald Trump vowed to forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. That's something he said in his inaugural address, and then shortly thereafter, he signed an executive order that began the process of dismantling the government's DEI rules. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, less than 2 weeks after that, Vice President J.D. Vance's office hired Buckley Carlson, the 24-year-old son of Tucker Carlson, the Fox News host, former Fox News host, and the popular conservative pundit, as a deputy press secretary. So I suppose the thing we can conclude from that is that young Buckley can at least be certain that he didn't get that job because of the color of his skin. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. Look, the dismantling of the federal government's various so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, those DEI rules, it's been one of the signature efforts of the first 2 months of the second Trump administration. And I am happy to see that happen. Those rules often required that factors like race and gender and ethnicity be considered alongside or even ahead of much more important things when the government was hiring people, promoting people, or handing out taxpayer-funded contracts. And to be clear, the DEI regime was and is, to the extent that it still exists, fundamentally unfair and discriminatory. It was not great when it was part of government policy. It's not great when it's active in the private sector or in nonprofits or universities, wherever you might see it. Anyone who values individual talent over immutable collective characteristics should applaud the fact that DEI's power seems to be fading in the government and in society. And I mean, yes, I'm poking some fun at the hiring of Tucker Carlson's kid in Vice President J.D. Vance's office, but often in ways that matter much more than that. It seems like what Trump has done over these first few months is a long, long way from that restoration of meritocracy that we were promised. You can start with some of the personnel decisions that the administration has made. Now, look, I'm a libertarian. I love the fact that Trump has been trying to reduce the size of the federal workforce, the fact that he's brought in Elon Musk and created the Department of Government Efficiency to do that stuff. That is a laudable goal, even though it's run into some roadblocks in the federal judiciary. But the mass firings that have been carried out by Trump and by the DOGE program seem to have targeted probationary employees first and foremost, those who are on the job less than a year, generally speaking. And that's an arbitrary approach, one that says absolutely nothing about merit. It protects senior employees simply because they've been around longer. It's the sort of last-in, first-out thinking that you might expect from, say, a teacher's union, and doesn't really seem to do much to promote meritocracy. I think worse than that is the fact that that approach, those mass firings, seem to sit awkwardly alongside last week's big news story. The story, of course, of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth disclosing sensitive operational details about a military operation in a group chat that included The Atlantic magazine's Jeffrey Goldberg. Now, Goldberg was reportedly invited to the chat by Michael Waltz, Trump's national security advisor, who was then later put in charge of the investigation into how all of that happened in the first place, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This week, of course, the White House press secretary said that that investigation is now finished. Case closed is how she described it on Tuesday. And no one has been fired. No punishments seem to have been handed out. The implication here seems pretty clear. Accountability is only for people at the bottom. Meanwhile, people on top seem to get away with whatever they want. And with no accountability, all that talk about meritocracy seems pretty meaningless. You need, in my opinion, both accountability and competition for meritocracy to be a thing that works. And of course, the Trump administration has also been trying to erode competition, not just in the federal government, but in the country at large. The tariffs and trade restrictions that Trump is pursuing are really nothing more than DEI for companies that engage in commerce that the Trump administration favors. If American consumers want to buy a car made in Japan, they shouldn't be punished for that choice. And if an American manufacturer wants to import raw material from Mexico or Canada to build the best gadget, then the president's opinion about that shouldn't matter at all. A free market is the ultimate judge of merit, and every time that Trump substitutes his own preferences or the preferences of central planners in place of the wisdom of consumers, he's working to undermine this very meritocracy that he claims to favor. You could say the same thing about some of the restrictions on immigration that the administration is pursuing. If Trump was truly seeking, as he said on Inauguration Day, a society that is colorblind and merit-based, then we should want more immigration, legal immigration, of course, but immigrants are, of course, more likely to start businesses than native-born Americans, and they are less likely to draw upon the welfare system. In a meritocracy, immigrants often win, and indeed, that's one of the reasons why America has been the wealthiest and most successful nation in the history of this planet. Writing in the Washington Examiner a few weeks into the Trump administration, Robert Chernin praised what he called a return to meritocracy that does not just benefit one group. He said it would elevate our entire society, ensure that the most capable among us, regardless of our background, are the ones to lead institutions and businesses. He said that most importantly, it would restore faith in the American dream and the work ethic that goes with it, the belief that anyone from anywhere can rise based on their merits. All of that sounds great to me. The Trump administration should do those things. It should try to ensure that anyone from anywhere can succeed, even if they were born in another country, or goodness me, if they want to purchase a product made in Canada. It should pare back, the Trump administration should work to pare back the federal workforce to more efficiently provide services to taxpayers, of course, and it should do so without regard for seniority, and most importantly at all, it shouldn't tolerate incompetence, especially not from those in leadership positions. The Trump administration, rather than restoring meritocracy so far, seems mostly fixated on rewarding friends and punishing perceived enemies. There's a word for that, for sure, but it definitely isn't meritocracy. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Check out more of our coverage of everything going on in and around the Trump administration this week at Reason.com, and catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.